All right. We've got a chance to be back together this evening and go into God's Word. Let's turn back to where we were earlier at the 1 Samuel chapter 16. And we're actually going to probably read in 1 Samuel 17, but we'll turn to 1 Samuel 16 first just to get a bit of a recap of the things that we saw. Basically, this morning we were asking the question, are you interested in being used of God? Are you interested in the things of God? And then we identified some of those, what those things were. And then we took a look at how David had, God had picked him out to be used of himself in the things according to his will. Let's pray once again before we get into the passage. Our Heavenly Father, we do give thee thanks, and we're grateful, Father, to be able to have this time once again. We're thankful for each and every one who's here this evening, and that we can take and yield to the Holy Spirit to call upon thee for understanding. And, Father, we do pray that thou would give us wisdom now as we look into the things of Scripture. And we pray this now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 16, 7 through 13 is what we read this morning. And there's the time where we see Samuel coming in and calling the sons of Jesse. The sons of Jesse pass by, 7 of them in fact. None of those are chosen. And so they go and say, are these all your sons? And he says, no, I've got one yet that's out watching the sheep. We'll call him too. Now, I'd like to read a few more. We won't take time to read all of chapter 17, being that it's quite a lengthy chapter with 58 verses in it. But if you could, go to chapter 17 and let's look at verse 11. We'll pick up our reading in verse 11. When Saul and all of Israel heard the words of the Philistine, these are the words of Goliath, when they heard the words of the Philistine giant, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephraimite, the Bethlehem Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. What's that? In verse 12 is explaining that the men of the king's commission were going out to select ones that would be in the battle or would be chosen for war. And so we pick up back in verse 13, and the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of the 3 sons that went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. So we see the 3 oldest sons being chosen to go into battle, David remaining with the sheep. And now look at verse 17, just down a few verses. And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren an ephod of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp of thy brethren and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousands and look how thy brethren fare and take their pledge. And so we see right here, just reading those 2 verses, David is given this errand to run. And then look down at verse 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, David's eldest brother, heard when he spake, when David was speaking unto the men. And Eliab answered, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those 2 sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine own heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And so, in verse 29, we hear David's response, and he said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from Eliab to another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And then look at verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, referring back to the giant, referring to Goliath. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept thy father his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he came, and when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. Seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. And so we have just that, read verse 37 as well. And David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. So we just read a few of these, maybe we say highlights, or pulled out a few verses here, and the experience that David had. And this morning we really came to the conclusion that God wants to use all of us, and God can use every one of us in different ways. God's given us each one a spiritual gift. Each believer has a spiritual gift to use. God has given us all different sets of circumstances, different abilities, different experiences, and God is able to use us. And so here we see, as David's experience, he's been chosen by Samuel to be the next king of Israel. So he's been chosen for a particular task, a particular thing. As he's chosen, as he's called to the sacrifice and he's anointed, they go through the process of Samuel anointing David with the oil, and then we're told in chapter 16 that he returned to watch his father's sheep. And so we have David watching his father's sheep, and then we see the first passage that we read is that here there's an obvious war going on. The Philistines have a champion who's issuing out challenges, who's defying the army of the living God. And all the soldiers, what's their reaction? They're shaking in their boots, right? There's not a man that'll take a stand. And so we see the armies of God, the children of Israel, are all scared. Saul, the one who stands head and shoulders above the rest, scared as well, will not go out and fight Goliath. Jesse says, hey David, I've got an errand for you to run. We read that. Just a couple of verses there where he tells them to take some cheese and some parched corn and take these to your brother and check on them. How are they doing? The three eldest brothers. We see Eliab's response, not greeted with such a friendly attitude, is he? In fact, he's accused for being full of pride and what the King James says, thy naughtiness of heart. I know your naughtiness of heart. You know, you just want to see a battle. Scram, kid. Is in essence what Eliab saying. Then we come and find out that David, he takes a stand. He just can't understand why these people won't stand up to giants. Why they're letting this giant defy the armies of the true and living God. And they take him before the king, right? They take him before Saul. And he states his case before Saul. Do you notice as we look at these different occasions in David's life, some of these experiences, it was kind of a hard road, wasn't it, for him? I mean, he wasn't met with just encouragement all along the way, was he, as a young man? In fact, if we look at it, he was rather met with discouragement, wasn't he? Things that would discourage us. Well, are we interested in being used of God?
We hope that answer is yes. Are we interested in the things of God? We hope that answer is yes as well. But we see, as we look at the message of the world, what does the message of the world sin? Or the message of others, what does it sin? Thinking about David's situation, David was not even called to the sacrifice. What kind of message does that send to David? Why do you think he wasn't called to the sacrifice? Probably just the normal conclusion is that, you know, David was a lad. He was a young man. Jesse didn't even call him. I've got seven other older sons. Surely David won't be chosen. Leaves him with the sheep. So the message that David got from that was too young, right? Then, as we go on back in chapter 17 and verse 14, who was chosen? Verse 14, and David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. This guy, I don't know why this pops into my head, from a childhood movie. Remember Cinderella? Whenever after the ball, Cinderella loses her slipper, and then the guys from the king's servants come with this glass slipper, and it's a royal decree, you know, looking for who this slipper would match, and it was probably a big deal. Someone from the king's palace is here, you know. Well, this guy, that's the picture I get of not with the glass slipper, but that the king commission is coming to select the army. And it's like, okay, guys, you know, line up. We're going to see who's going to be selected. It would have been an honor to be selected to go out and fight for your country. And so it was a draft situation. And scripture states the three eldest were taken, the youngest remained. What kind of message was that sending to David? Well, we go on further, and we look down in verse 28. We have that exchange between Eliab and David. David is there just inquiring. David innocently is saying, what is going on? Why isn't anybody standing up to this guy? Eliab's anger was kindled, is what the verse said. Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he tells him that, get out of here. We don't hear, hey, David, thanks for bringing this food from home, the care package, right? And we don't hear, David, how's Dad doing? Scram, kid, is all it. So what's the message that he's getting from his older brother? You're too young to be here. And then, even when he's up in front of Saul, look at verse 33, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. Several times over, at least four cases that we've looked at already, David was sent the message, you're too young to do this. Now, God had chosen David, right? Was David too young? But what was the message of the world? What was the message from others? Seemed pretty clear. The message from others was, I'm too young. So, if David had his ear tuned to God, God was telling him, I've got a job for you. David had his ear tuned to the world. What was the message? You're too young. And he would have stayed right put, not to be used of God. It's the same for us, isn't it? The same situation. We got our message tuned to God. We'll know. We'll know what we're to do. We tune our ear to the world. You might as well just stay right in your seat. Because the world's going to tell you you're too young. You're not qualified. The world's going to send a whole bunch of mixed signals or signals that are going to keep you at bay, not keep you in God's will. One of the things we looked at in Acts chapter 13 and verse 22, he was a man after God's own heart, And God knew that he would accomplish all of his will. And so here we have David pitted up against the message of the world that he's too young, or God's message that he had been given. You've been chosen for a particular task, and God had that for him. You know, I meet people at my age and younger or maybe even older that have been thrown off track by a discouraging remark from an older person. It might have been their father. He discouraged them and they just, bam, let that harbor their whole life. They kind of let that harbor. And so I think David gives us a good lesson too in the fact that he didn't hold the grudge against his dad because he didn't call him to sacrifice, did he? He didn't hold a grudge against his older brother. In fact, it's interesting looking at that response is that Eliab is trying to tell him, get out of here. And David says, what have I done? Is there not a cause? And it says that he turned to another. He doesn't let Eliab's comment shut him down. He just turns to another and looking for somebody. Is there not a man that will go fight this Israelite? So, we think about this, the message of the world, and I kind of said that, the message of others, the message of the world. This could have been discouraging for David, couldn't it? I mean, this is his father that didn't choose him. His oldest brother, who told him to get out of here. There's oftentimes in a family relationship, Drew, you're the older brother, right? No. John? What do you think about Drew? He's mean sometimes, right? So, he's been following the pattern of Eliab, is that what you're telling me? Okay. But, John, how old are you? 10? Do you look up to Drew sometimes? Yeah? Yeah? Now I know Will's not here tonight, and Ben, so I can talk without embarrassing them. But Drew, how old are you? 15, right? It's 5 years difference between those two. Will is 13, Ben's 10. So Ben's the same age as you, John. But I tell you what, Will or Ben looks up to Will, right? And I know I've observed situations. I had a younger brother. I knew that my younger brother looked up to me, wanted to be like me or do the things that I was doing. And many, in most cases, the younger look up to the older, don't they? And boy, that could have just sent David for a loop, but it didn't. You know, Eliab says, get out of here. But he stayed on. The king tells him, look at these people. This is not like when I said the world's message is that you're too young. It wasn't like it was somebody, it was Goliath, which Goliath tells him that too, by the way. You know, Goliath gets really angry. What are you doing sending out this kid, you know? But it wasn't like it was the criminal telling him he's too young. It was his dad. It was his older brother. It was the king. But God, David, we just got to really, I think that's a critical point, that David was tuned to God's ear. David was tuned to God's message, God's messenger, and he stayed the track for what he felt God would have him to do. You know, the next thing I want to look at about David and that would give us a good example would be, say, I'm going to take some guesses here from the audience, if that's okay. What were some of David's jobs that we've read about so far? He was a shepherd. I heard somebody say that. Okay. What else? The messenger, right? He was Aaron's boy. Now, we didn't get a chance to read in chapter 16. In fact, let's look at that right quick. I'll give you two other jobs that we see. Flip back to chapter 16. Chapter 16 and verse 16. Now, this scripture records for us some things. David's character is being looked at, and then David's action or activity that he's doing. And so the chronological order doesn't quite flow, so don't let that confuse you. But back in chapter 16 and verse 16, it says, "Now let our Lord now command thy servant, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp, and it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well." And Saul said unto his servants, "Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me." That was David, right? So David would end up being chosen as the harp player. That's another job that he had. Here he was the harp player for the king. And then look at verse 21. Here's something else we have. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And there's the fourth job that you see. This man said shepherd, errand boy or messenger, harp player, and armor bearer. That he had those jobs. You know, if we look at those, where do you think those would fall on the national pay scale? Upper end or lower end? Probably lower end, right? And so I kind of liken those to maybe a summer job or a job. Well, David was a young man, but these were things that he could do, but he did them well. He played the harp well. Choose a man who can play well upon the harp. And we know he was a good shepherd. And it's even, you know, as you read chapter 17, when his father comes and says, "Hey, David, I want you to go check on your brothers." David shows responsibility and gets somebody else to tend the sheep before he leaves. He rises up early. And so there's some definite great character traits that we see that David has. Well, these tasks that he's been given, the shepherd, we don't have too many shepherd jobs around here in our particular area, but we know it was a menial task. And even you could see, from Eliab's response, who have you left those few sheep with there in the wilderness? It was a small job. And then, as the errand boy, we know that, I mean, we understand what that is, and a messenger, or, you know, sent to run an errand, taking some corn, taking some cheese up to check on how his brothers are doing. The harp player, there, he was, once again, not a, it was a skill that he had well, but he was chosen to do that. But still a menial task. And then the armor bearer, I think, well, that might be a little bit better. I kind of liken the armor bearer to maybe a bat boy, right? It's an important job, but, Gene, who's your favorite baseball team? The Cardinals? St. Louis Cardinals. Who's their bat boy this year? Right? The bat boy is kind of unknown, right? I mean, the armor bearer. Who is Goliath's armor bearer? We don't know. I mean, it's just it's an unknown type of a, you don't ask who the bat boy is for the, you know, looks like got a great lineup this year. Got a great bat boy, you know. And so the armor bearer is an insignificant job. But we find David, he did those jobs well. He was faithful, right? Are we interested in the things of God? And sometimes in our life, we're going to find ourselves doing some things that may seem menial, but we do well with where God has us, what God gives us to do. We do that well, and we see God opens up other opportunities. That was true for David, wasn't it? I mean, David was given these opportunities, and he did them well, even though they were some things that seemed to be insignificant at the time. All the time, David was being prepared for something else. another point we could make here is that, let's see, we know David, in this time of being a shepherd boy, his first claim to fame would have been this fight with Goliath, right? That was the first time he received really national attention. Drew, since you're up front, do you mind helping me out for a minute? Come on up. I don't mean to scare people away from sitting up front. I'd actually prefer you to sit up front. But come on up here, all right? Now, actually, I brought with me, this is a sling from Israel, okay? This would have been perhaps very similar to the type of sling that David would have used. Now, Drew, have you ever used one?
Yes. All right.
Well, he's going to learn, all right? But we're not going to use stones, okay? All right, so you take that there. And since we won't use stones, we'll have to come up with our own stone. And this is the weapon that David would have used, right, to fight Goliath? Now, let me ask you.
Who do you want your giant to be?
I think
I'll go with my dad. All right. Come on, Scott. All right, this will not hurt. But this will be safe. All right, we're going to give you 10 paces. All right. You have to march down the aisle. All right, stand back a little bit further. We'll give you a little more chance than that. All right. Okay, here you go. Here's Drew's stone. He's taken out of his bag. And there's the Goliath. There's Goliath there. And he's got a shot. Go ahead and take a shot at Goliath. Well, come on. Just do the best you can. Well, you're doing fine. Go ahead. Yeah. All right. No, did it come out? Did it even come out? All right, try it again. Try it one more time. You're doing fine, though. All right, you can sit down. Thanks, guys, for helping out. Now, okay. David had to go to battle with this thing, right? David was offered the king's armor. He was offered his weapons of warfare. But David said, no, I really don't feel comfortable with those things. I'm going to take this sling. Now, what Drew just example for us, and I appreciate you doing that. And Scott, appreciate you being a giant as well. Right. Yeah, Philistine. What Drew just demonstrated for us is that David had to have diligence in the small things, right? Throwing a stone out of a sling is probably not that big of a deal, but it's kind of challenging, isn't it? It's a skill. It's an acquired skill, requires much practice in order for him to do it. David was so sure of his skill with his sling that he was confident to go. His trust was in God. Make that clear. But he was confident, and he knew the weapon where he could take one stone and hit Goliath right here. That's incredible. And so, you know, how did he gain that confidence? How did he gain that skill? As a shepherd boy. He was there watching the sheep, but practicing with his sling. Right? Where did he learn how to play the harp? Shepherd boy, out there. And what did that do? It got him before a king. That's a pretty big thing. You know, playing the harp's no easy task either, right? Bob, do you play the guitar? No? Here's a musical man, right?
Do we have a guitar up here?
And if I ask Bob to play the guitar, it's going to take a while, right? He's going to have to practice it, even though he can play the piano. But it takes a stringed instrument. Any of us take a stringed instrument. And before we can play well, we're going to have to, even if we got a natural gift, we got to practice and get it right. Or those of us that are not musically inclined have to take hours and hours of lessons and practices. But it's not something that happens overnight, is it? Well, David really gives us an example of being diligent. He was a diligent young man. Even in the small things, David was diligent. And we see him being later used of God. You know, I think about different things, once again, experiences. Sometimes we think a summer job washing dishes may be insignificant. God can use that. It could be something. I think about like when David was a shepherd, the things that he probably thought through and learned. Even as an armor bearer, what kind of a skill for the future do you think you learned there? You know, we talked about a bat boy. A bat boy's right down there in the dugout, isn't he? Right where all the action's happening. He can hear the coach, getting ready to, you know, next inning we're gonna put, number 52, let's send him to the, bullpen. And he's right down in front of where the action's going on, right? Here's David as a young man, the armor bearer to the king. What do you think he's hearing? He's getting all kind of training, on the job training of military, theory, military action, seeing the decision Saul's making. What better training ground than to be the armor bearer for the one that's going to be a warrior, going to be a king, future king. So see how David was made himself available to God. David was faithful in the smaller things that God had him to do. And then David's going to be used greatly of God. So as we think about this, there's a time in David's life that he was there playing these stringed instruments, and you know, just a little alliteration of some things we see kind of in a devotional thought of God took David with that stringed instrument and he made him the soothing servant to Saul. He performed that service. The stringed instrument taken and used it as the soothing servant. He took that sling that he had acquired, the practice and the diligence with it, and he became the slaying hero. The slaying hero. As he was the armor bearer, he had that shield, and he would become the successful soldier in his military career. And then that staff that he would have, that he carried as a shepherd boy, that staff, God would replace that with the scepter, the king's scepter. And so we see these things in David's life that seem to be insignificant or little jobs, God would use and use him in a much bigger way later on. If you would turn to chapter 18, as we find David being used of God, I want to look at one more thing. We saw David's, early on in chapter 16, we see David's, we get a glimpse at David's heart because he's chosen of God. We get a glimpse of David's diligence in doing the things that God had given him to do. And then, as God starts to use them, I want to look at verse 18 and draw your attention to a phrase that's repeated in chapter 18. I said verse 18, excuse me, chapter 18. We want to get a glimpse of David here, still as a young man. And we're in chapter 18. Now, Goliath has been slain, right? Goliath is dead. And now we see, I'll pick up verse 1 to make some connection. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. So introduce Jonathan to the scene, and look at verse 5. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and he behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over men of war, as he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And do you remember back in chapter 17, we didn't read this part, so let me just refresh your memory. David would ask the question, what will happen to the man that kills the Goliath? And the response was, well, the king's gonna reward him. You know, he's gonna make him a captain over thousands. He's going to bring him and his house will be free. It means no longer will the sons of Jesse will no longer be taxed. They'll be free in the land. And then he'll be given the king's daughter. And so here, this is starting to happen. David was being, starting to be given this additional responsibility. But he behaved himself wisely. Then look at verse 14. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. We saw that in chapter 16, the Lord's with him. Now we see it again. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. And then verse 30. The princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass, after they went forth, that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by, or was recognized, or was precious. So here David gives us another great lesson, doesn't he? David was interested in being used of God. He was interested in the things of God, his word. Remember that passage we read in 1 John chapter 3:16? Willing to lay down his life for the brethren. Was that true of David? He was willing to go fight the Philistines. And even though David had the confidence in God to do this, he put himself in a life or death situation, didn't he? The Philistine could have triumphed, but David was willing to lay down his life for his brethren, for his brothers and sisters, for his nation of Israel. He was willing to do that. And so, we find that David, even though he's given these smaller tasks, he excels at them. His dad says, hey, go check on the boys and see how they're doing. He rises up early to do it. And he's being given more honor, more things. And then three times in this chapter, in chapter 18, we see he behaved himself wisely. And so as we give attention, we give diligence to the small things in life, we should behave ourselves wisely. As we get more responsibility, we don't rest on our laurels, or we don't say, well, you know, I'm a college graduate now, and start to make foolish mistakes. We act ourselves wisely. We should behave ourselves wisely. That's what the man of God, the one that is seeking after, the person of God, seeking after God's will, to do all of God's will, they behave themselves wisely. How can you behave yourself wisely apart from knowing what the scripture says? It's impossible, isn't it? The Proverbs is full of instructions for wisdom. And so we see this even repeated of David. He behaved himself wisely. He behaved himself wisely. Saul even observed David behaving himself wisely. And at the end of the chapter it says David behaved himself more wisely. And so we find this good example of David. Well, we'd like to just challenge our own hearts to look at some of these things as we track on with the life of David. There's really not a good stopping point. We can go all the way through into the 2 Samuel and follow David's life. But we have definitely these things that are good examples for us to follow, and even looking at David's life, the way that God used him in the small things, in the big things, and we see David's reaction here early on, how he got such a good start. Well, let's close with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do give thee thanks for the opportunity we have once again to look at Scripture. Father, we're thankful here for David's life. We can look at things that we see that he really early on, if he would have listened to some of these discouraging comments that would have been made, Father, we see that perhaps he would have been thrown off track a bit. As we think about our own lives, we know that there's times where the world would throw up a different message to us, and we pray that thou would help us in discerning thy word and thy will. Father, help us to be diligent in the small things. We pray that thou would allow us to learn how to do the basics well, that we might be used of thee later on. Father, we pray that thou would take our
our little successes that we have in life, as we recognize thy hand at work in our own lives, and as we recognize the divine enablement and accomplishments that we have, we pray that we would never neglect our source of strength, or the Holy Spirit that abides within us, that we would truly recognize that it is through thy strength, through thy power, that anything of value is accomplished. Father, we pray that as we gain these successes in our spiritual walk, that we would be driven and compelled to behave ourselves wisely rather than avoid pride, not become puffed up or lifted up, that we would behave ourselves wisely, and that we would do that in front of people, that we had a testimony for that. So we trust that these thoughts are helpful to us all, and we pray this now as we commend ourselves to thee in Jesus Christ's name.